telling us how he's dealing with this thing. So I'm asking this from the general to explain to me so that I can understand who is the relevant people to be involved in a meeting like this concerning finances. I see him, he's just like a parcel.
Thank you, Honourable Member. I think General Ramaphosa is here. So, yeah, let's go to the responses. General Motiba, you're welcome.
Thanks, Honourable Chairperson. We will take it as the different members were asking, Chairperson. We'll first start with the questions raised by the Honourable Chairperson on the firearm amnesty. Chairperson, I will go back and find out exactly what is happening, and then with your permission, if we can give written response on this. I know that last year we did talk about the firearm amnesty, but I don't have the technical details in terms of that. That will also include the issues of the further consultation with the other role players in the firearm industry. In respect of the acting head of crime intelligence, Honorable Chairperson, when I was appointed, I found that the management of the SAPS have already taken a decision to redeploy the acting head of crime intelligence, General Makhele, back to her post in the Free State, because she is the provincial head of crime intelligence in the Free State. So I had to execute that decision, which I've done. I've appointed Major General Mukushane. Major General Mukushane worked almost for more than about 30 years in the crime intelligence environment. But early this year, he was appointed Major General and given the post of VIP protection in the Northern Cape. So he's there now, busy assisting. And as the Honorable Committee knows that the issue of General Mdluli is still hanging in the air, we are going to have a meeting on General Mdluli and all the SAPS senior members that are on suspension, because I would want to be briefed what is going on with the case of the Provincial Commissioner of the Northern Cape, as well as the others, to get the technical details, because what I'm hearing is things that before my appointment. I want to know what is happening, why are they on long suspension, why can't we finalize those disciplinary cases. And I will, Chairperson, give also written response in respect of all these cases. There's one honourable member who have asked it. I will go into detail, get all the brief in respect of all of them that are on suspension. In respect of the vacancies, Honourable Chairperson, in the detectives and the visible policing environment, your question is that we should explain the full expenditure versus the vacancies, as well as the processes to fill the vacancies. And I'll ask the General Skates here, together with General Ramaphosa, who is our CFO, as well as General Nelson, who is responsible for the section head for finance, especially for budget planning and expenditure. So, General Skete, I'll ask him with your permission, Chairperson.
Thank you, sir. It might be that I ask my team also to come in if it's in order with you. So, of course, you just start off, and I'll add this one in terms of the under expenditure and the vacancy scenario regarding not just Vespol, but maybe detective services as well in this regard, and I'll add. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Good morning, honorable members. I think specifically on the issue of personnel losses in terms of program 2 and program 3, you do feel the big impact in terms of when we lose members. The impact in terms of underperformance is quite visible because of the quantum that sits within those programs. So you've got over 100,000 members that sit within those programs. But if you look at our compensation budget, there are a lot of factors that sit in within that unit. It's not just a factor of number of people and the wages that goes with it. There's reference that was made to the cost of living adjustment. For instance, the projection we have made in the budget was for 7% increase. We ended up with the 7.6% as a result of the union negotiation. So that 0.6 itself has resulted in higher than spending within that unit in terms of compensation. You have other elements like your pay progression, which is the legacy issues. We are sitting with a backlog in terms of that, where we haven't attended or addressed the issues of pay progression as it comes to members. So even if you will have lost members, the savings that you generate as a result of that will go to address other components. Hence, you will see that you will always be sitting at 100% spending, because there are other variables and factors that tend to come in. Your issue of overtime, they will also play a role in making in realizing that the expenditure then it's fully utilized at the end of the financial year. So with the fixed establishment, you will notice that with treasury now, we have to reduce the number. From we usually speak about the 200,000 that was budgeted for. Now we are required to reduce that number to 195,000. At the moment, we're not yet above that number, but there is pressure going forward in terms of that we're not able to address that. But the comfort we have is that on average in a year, we are losing about 6,000 employees within the service. At the least, we are allowed to replace this as we lose them. So that's the comfort that what you lose, you'll still be able to gain. So there's not a threat to say there'll be stability in the force when we do lose this number of people within the force. There was reference made to specifically in terms of the civil claims. The over expenditure on this figure, we're talking about 44 million extra that you will have spent. In terms of, so there's been quite a rising increase in civil claims that between last year and financial year. Last year we've expended about 334 million. In the current year, you're sitting at 372. So that also spiked a lot in terms of program one in terms of the expenditure in terms of that item. I think the other dependency, when we talk about the value for money, I think the conversation we've had on public works equally, where we will expend money.
I think we should just stay there. Okay. NASCOM, that was the first question. I think then the second question, just for NASCOM then to distribute. In essence, then
maybe we can go to that response, Mr. Ramakosi, just a follow-up, a quick follow-up. Because I just want to know, so you are saying, I hear you in terms of the ceiling and so on, but so you are actually saying to the committee, those posts are not going to be filled, those vacancies. Is that what you're saying?
In terms, there is provision to fill vacancies as and when they happen, but to a point where we will start exceeding the 195, at the point where we do that, there's a possibility that, yes, some of the posts, if at the time are not filled, they will not be filled at the time. But we're not yet reached the ceiling at this point in time.
But can you maybe give us an indication of those visible and detective service posts? It's about 3-5. Are they going to be filled? Yes or no? Yes, General Skutter.
So just to add what General Ramakosi says, the vacancies there have been worked out on an unfunded staff establishment for that previous financial year. It was 198. Why do I say the 198,000 was unfunded? At the end of 14-15, 4-15-16, fees must fall and the huge budget cuts were introduced. at the time, the National Treasurer, I think I've given the letter at some point to the committee, it was indicated you cannot go and adjust the figures now of the number of people. There is no time. We must submit the Red Book to Parliament and so forth. We'll do it during 16-17, that's last year. So it was 15-16-16-17. So last year we still had a staff establishment which actually was not representative of the amount after the budget cut late in February 2016. Remember, for last year, for 16-17, a budget cut was introduced. And we could not adjust the figures yet. The Treasury in their letter said to us, you can adjust it later. So those measurements are against the pre-adjusted figure of 198,000 and not the current 195, so to speak. So in addition, all those vacancies were not necessarily funded because it was a higher staff level, but a subsequent cut was introduced and we could not adjust the figures at the time for the Red Book. We adjusted it during the course of the financial year. That is what he refers to in terms of the decreases, in terms of that aspect. And the other point is also very valid. There are certain items, public Sunday allowance, we had huge overtime for the local elections, so you can get 100% spending on compensation, but still have vacancies, taking these two variables into account. Thank you.
The question still stays the same. I mean, of those posts, the 3-5, how many is going to be filled? Or is it all of them unfunded? There must be an answer.
Chair, is General Skeeter saying that the Red Book, as it was submitted to Parliament, contained inaccurate information?
Basically for all departments.
Because obviously it raises another question, because if you say so, because the estimate book comes in with the total expenditure projected. So you're saying, insofar as you can speak confidently about the police, the figures that were projected in there were inaccurate?
Not the rand values, Chairperson. The rand values were 100% correct, but the number of staff at the back of each budget vote, you have that staff establishment.
No, hold on about the rent value. The staff establishment, warm body and finances, those must speak to each other. So what was inaccurate?
The staff establishment was actually inaccurate as a result of not adjusting it based on a time urgency.
Yes, General, and then Honourable Bela, I saw your hand as well.
Thank you, Chairperson. The letter from Treasury is 19 January 2016, and if I may, I would like to just read a small part of that specific paragraph 9. It said, however, understanding the work necessary to adjust approved personnel structures to the reduced compensation of employees' budgets, the personnel tables in the 2016 E&E database and chapter have to be retained and annotated accordingly by Treasury. Accordingly, no changes to be made to program personnel tables brought from resolving existing queries. And then paragraph 10, and that's what's currently happening. In addition to the above, the Minister of Finance and Public Service and Administration will announce stringent measures to manage personnel expenditure and develop tools to assist partners to reduce personnel numbers in 2017-18 and 2018-19. So we had to keep them as is, and then subsequently now we're in the process to down-manage them. Thank you, Chair.
Honourable Ramadlakani, you've got a follow-up on that?
Chair, so what is the answer then? We're speaking to SEPs, that 3.5, and
is a 3.5 unfunded vacancies, is what we are hearing. Now, if you say yes, and you said the money, there was no problem with the money, that you explain both.
Yeah, I think in reality, I don't think the answer was to say yes for the current financial year, it's a no. In reality, we will not be in a position to fill all those. But through the natural attrition process, over time, you will be able to fill some of those vacancies, but it's not going to be 100% at this point in time. So if you sit here and say end of the financial year, are these going to be filled? No. Because if you look, there's other pressures to down-manage the numbers. At the same time, if you look at the cost projection for the next 3 years, it's actually rising at the same time. If you factor all the variables we put in, the costs are going up irrespective of the number that they are coming down as well. So I don't necessarily think we'll fill all the posts. The approach that we're also taking now is to look at reprioritization of resources. In environment where we feel they are over, we may have to reprioritize the resources to certain environments which we think they are critical. So the appointment approach will not necessarily be the only one we need to look at as a way to address some of the concerns that are being raised. So there is a greater need to do an in-depth analysis in terms of certain issues that are being raised. But the answer it's not a straight yes. Right now, it will be filled. I will not be able to commit to that. Yeah.
First, give an opportunity to the acting national and then General Skit, and I'll come to Honourable Bailey and Honourable Robert Khan if necessary.
Thanks, Chairperson. My request to the committee is that if we can go back and go and look at the budget that has been allocated as well as the vacancies, and then we can indicate to the committee how many of these posts will be filled. Because at this point in moment, we'll not be able to say we'll fill so many posts, so many will become vacant. Thanks, Chairperson.
You know, I agree, because it's a critical issue, especially with visible policing. You know, some provinces are undermanned and underwomaned in a certain sense, and if there is not going to be a filling of those posts, it's going to have a huge impact in terms of crime detection and visible policing. So we, as a committee, will have to know exactly what of those 3-5 posts are actually going to be filled in. So we'll await that report. Yes, General Skitter.
I would just like to say, but the number between the 198 and the 195 is not funded. I think the committee must know that. It's not funded. But in the 195, it might be that Vespol and Detective receive priority above, for instance, other programs. So it might be that some of their vacancies will be filled, but maybe not a program 1 or a program 5 or something. So I think that is the scenario that General Mutiba has also referred to. But the 198 is not funded anymore. We had a huge budget cut introduced by government.
Honourable Ramlakari, then Honourable Bailey.
Now, maybe if you speak straight language, you need to cut staff establishment 195. Is what you're saying? Yes. You need to cut. Speak that language. You need to cut from 198 to 195, right? And because of the, but Treasury introduces a budget cut. That's what you say. Now it brings this question in terms of the, General says, give us time to go back and relook at the matter and come back. What are you going to bring back? Because it almost looks like it's done.
I mean, we need to know the prioritization of those. Let's get on a bit about the responses.
Yeah, Chair, I think I'm actually covered. So, because technically, last year there were 3,000 unfunded posts, but because the establishment has been cut, the baseline changed. The 195 is funded within the current budget. Okay, I'm covered. Thanks.
Thanks, Honourable Chairperson. The next questions came from Honorable Mbele. The first question was on the breakdown of expenditure, especially the under expenditure in the ministry sub-program. The 100% expenditure on salary of employees, yet there are vacancies. Are we having vacant funded posts? I think some of the questions have been answered. The slide on the crime intelligence on the over expenditure. The question that I would want to respond to before General Skete and the team comes in is the one of the newspaper reports that I met with the MVA to set up a covert crime intelligence to do certain things. I want to categorically deny that I never met with the MKMVA. I've interacted with the Ministry of Defense. Last week, the MKMVA had their conference and were requested because our VIP, a number of ministers, deputy ministers, and the president attended that conference. We had to take care of the VIP protection. And that is when I interacted with the members of from the Ministry of Defense to set security measures for that conference. That is the only thing that we spoke about, Honorable Chairperson. Thank you. I hand over to General Skete.
Thank you, Chair. I think we've addressed the compensation employee scenario. Then I would just, General Motiva has addressed the MK veteran scenario. I would just like to say something about crime intelligence and the spending on informers, and I'm going to ask then General Nelson to spoke about the under expenditure on the ministry and General Ramakosi to take the civil claim scenario. The crime intelligence spending on informers is goods and services, Chairperson. It's not transfer payments because a transfer is an unrequited payment. You don't get anything in return. But goods and services, there must be a value coming back after that expenditure, and information is value, so it's under goods and services. But may I just say, it has been a debate for so long, and each year when we do the PIs and so forth, I think we ask ourselves, you can't get 100% expenditure even with a lower performance output without not achieving 100% of your targets. It might be the case. The reason being is, it also links to what General Makosi said earlier in terms of compensation. You might have overtime, you might have public holiday allowances and other allowances as well, which then are still being spent, no matter whether you achieve or not. That's the first thing. The second thing is performance indicator selection. Performance indicators do not cover everything in the program. There's no performance indicator of the local election that cost us in the vicinity of 150 million. So, because it's indicative. I don't say there's no correlation. What I'm saying is there's a strong spontaneous correlation, but it's not a one-for-one, like for every rant I put in, I make another radio. Another rant, another radio. It doesn't work like that exactly as you will find in economics in this regard. There's still services that are performed, so you might get it. It is not to say that value for money cannot be questioned based on the 100% expenditure. So it is a value judgment to say, perhaps you achieved 72%, you should have actually, we feel comfortable with 82%. So I'm not saying members are wrong. All I'm saying is the questions that we ourselves also sometimes struggle with, and even with the Treasury. So the indicativeness of the Treasury of misalignment was a little bit questionable because they know better than merely that specific statement, but it's very valid to ask more value for money on 100% expenditure. Honorable members are not in anyhow questioned in this regard. Can I just then refer to the civil claim scenario for General Ramakosi and the slide one program ministry under expenditure, General Nelson, then we go forward.
Thank you, Chairperson. On the ministry's budget, there was a received a request received and a budget allocation made for the program management office and the panel of experts. And in terms of the budget estimates, there was an underspending. That's essentially the one. And then the other lack of the underspending relates to expenses incurred by a specific travel agency with their administrative issues that we are resolving currently. So that essentially deals with that. Chairperson, then I think General Skutte also requested me to deal with the financial assets, payments, financial assets. General Skutte, is it?
We can then come back to that one later, because we go in sequence.
Okay. Just a moment, there's just a follow-up from...
It's just to get a clear understanding of the response from the Major General. So the reason for the underspend was, in essence, delayed payments from the Ministry, because certain payments haven't been finalized yet. So that's the response that I heard.
Chairperson, that is the one leg of it, yes. The other one is the... POEN, the Program Management Office, that didn't execute their functions as anticipated initially, yes.
Let's go to further responses. General Skutte.
General Ramakosi.
I think the issue of the civil claims specific, I will have responded to indicate that the extra expenditure we incurred in the financial year was to the tune of 44 million extra. So last year the amount was about 334. In the current financial year we're sitting with about 372. So that is one that will have spiked in terms of the increase that you've experienced in that environment. So the specific we're talking about is 44 million.
Thank you. Just to add, I think the Honourable Groenewald asked that question, Chair. This is not the claim. This is the payment of the claim. There were the expenses. It's not the contingent liabilities.
Okay.
May I just ask, while I have General Mokoena here, to also just respond on RT57. He was previously the vehicle fleet manager as well. He's a DEFCOM SCM, to respond to that RT57. Please, General.
Thanks, Honourable Chair, Honourable Members. RT57 is a transversal contract from National Treasury. For reasons that we were not informed, National Treasury awarded this RT57 in August last year. But one good thing out of it is a two-year contract. In the past, it was a 12-month contract. And for the first time, it gave two years for this contract. Hence, the procurement of vehicles was delayed. And then when we negotiated with manufacturers, we experienced a problem of delivery, which it wasn't their fault. Thanks. I don't know.
Yeah. There's just a follow-up on the Groenewald.
Can I just thank you, Chair, on the civil claims amount?
I think you said 44 million, General. That was paid out in the last financial year.
Additional. 44 million additional.
And
the total?
It's about 372 million. 372 million.
You know, I'm just concerned about the fake news about this portfolio committee members. Last we saw something on the media that a member of this committee knew about 123. Just give me chance. And now today we are having Honorable Mbele. He's coming with a fabricated story on media that the general was in a meeting with MKVA and conference and blah, 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 and of which he proved that it's not correct. So we need to come with a way to correct these things because they have a negative impact. Even if they go back and say we are sorry, the media goes back and say we are sorry to have done this and this, but the first cut is the deepest. What do people think about members and everybody who takes part in this portfolio committee on fake news?
Right, I think we note the comments. Let's continue with the responses because I still want to come with the Secretariat of Police. They must still do their presentation. Thank you.
Thanks, Honourable Chairperson. The next question is from Honourable Mulevati on measures to speed up the disciplinary hearings of senior personnel. I'll give written response to that. Who are these personnel? What is going on with the disciplinary matters to the committee? And then there was a question also on recordings of expenditure for financial assets without the necessary budget appropriation. General Skete will respond to that. The question on the reservists, I'll respond to that. The question on the civil claims on our chairperson has been dealt with. Does budget match implementation on the ground? General Skete will address that, including the role of the CFO. The RT57, Honourable Chairperson, has been addressed. The issue of the vacancies has been addressed. Overspending on Program 1 on employees also been addressed, I think so. Then performance versus expenditure, the detectives have been performing badly. I think this one is also addressed. And then the one on the metro rail the damages and the looting, I'll attend to that. The last question was, how do you get it right that there's lack of expenditure but underperformance? So that one General Skete will also attend to. So if we can start with General Skete.
Thank you, Chairperson. Financial assets, no budget expenditure in this regard. General Nelson just referred to that. It's all about debt write-off, not anyhow. General Nelson.
Thank you, Chairperson. It's the payments for financial assets, the amount is 12.3 million rand. It is in accordance with the National Treasury Practice Note, essentially dealing with the nature of the transaction. And in this specific instance, there was a ruling by Treasury where we need to make provision against the budget for prior year debt that will be written off. Previous years it was accounted for under the National Revenue Fund. Now we need to make provision for that, but in here we are not allowed to budget for that because they say that the department should have recovered these amounts, and should it go through a process and it's found not irrecoverable of nature, then it can be written off. And it comprises the two legs. You've got your prior year debt and then your in-year debt, both of them that deals with that. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Chair. I think we've got three questions before I hand back to General Motiba and yourself, well, to General Motiba. The one is just about, do our capacity and the resources match the thing on the ground, the requirements on the ground? I think that's a very essential question, if I may say so. The best response to answer this is, and I think it also came out in the E&E hearings that we had before the committee chair, we will this year, going into a next MTF, try to make out the business case that we need some more personnel. We still need the POPs matters to announce. The committee, absolutely correctly so, always ask us about priorities such as detective services. So we will also, although the methodology which we received last week do not really make provision for it, we will in our covering memo make out the business case, and we will also invite a few people in order to make out a business case in this regard. Apart from that, the Hawks will also be invited regarding that the CBRRR recommendation to say that there's two aspects regarding, I think, cyber and organized that they must address. So we will make out a business case in that. On the other aspects, one should probably also be realistic. In the capital environment, I think we are reasonably funded. On the goods and services for the current year, I think we quite fund adequately funded. But coming 2019, you talk about a massive general election. We're going to need some more money there on goods and services because it's S&T, it's over time, it's over 100,000 people that will be deployed. We've been through this so many times, we know it. So that in this regard. So that is what I wanted to say, Jerome Ramakosi. Maybe you want to just close off with also, I think I've referred to it, but the effectiveness and the amount spent, value for money.
I think you've covered everything in terms of the value for money.
Thank you, Sari. Hand over to the National Commissioner of VIU.
There's a question on the role of the CFO, General Skete, that you must also attend to.
Oh, yes. Well, I don't know. I think it was more a comment, but the fact of the matter, General Ramakosi is our CFO. He participates in, he's the head of the division. I am looking over four divisions and so forth. I think we work as a team. If there are any concerns, it can be addressed in a bilateral manner as well. And I think all of us are glad we have now an official presenter, General Robby. Thank you.
Honourable Chairperson, in all the presentations, and General Patlani have said this, so I'm also following that footsteps, that the General Robby will do the presentations in respect of all the programs, and then the different program managers will be here to respond. There is a question, Chairperson, on the reservists. With your permission, Chairperson, if I can please give written response, we'll get it from the Western Cape as well as from the other provinces in terms of those doing psychometric testing of current reservists, those not doing it. So if we can please give a written response. In respect of the damages at the train, the detectives not doing the crime scene properly. I'll also get the details from the provincial commission. I was kept updated about what was going on and our response as well. But I'll get it in writing from the provincial commissioner in respect of especially the management of the crime scenes, dealing with those shops which were looted and so forth. I think that we have responded to all the questions, Chairperson.
Sorry, Jake. Specifically on the legal cost, I want to ask a follow-up, if I may. I saw that there was a court case with AfriForum, which the police lost. Actually, I was supposed to pose this question to the minister, but maybe we can get the answer here, where they asked for statistics about loss of firearms, I think since 2009 or something. But there's one thing I don't understand, because I mean those figures are available in annual reports. Now why do we have a court case asking statistics which are actually available? If it's possible to have a link it with the legal cost.
But members, is there anything else? Because there's a lot of written responses that we will receive. If it's fine, we can conclude on that one. Thank you.
Honourable Chairperson, can I request please that we give written response on this one? I'm not clued up with the technical details of it. With your permission, Chairperson.
Thank you very much. We come to the end of this interaction with the SAPS management in terms of the third and fourth quarter. Of course, we will await also the AG's report on this financial year that we just dealt with. Thank you very much. Just a reminder, next week, Tuesday, we're going to have a joint meeting with higher education, and we will need SAPS, especially from the POPs or visible policing environment, available in that meeting to raise their concern, to deal with the concerns from higher education. And then also the DVA reports. That's still outstanding. It's a major issue for Wednesday morning. Thank you very much. We'll allow a 2-minute break just to get the secretary. Thank you, Gentleman Thibault.